Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Expect the supernatural. Expect the supernatural. Look at somebody next to you. Say, expect the supernatural. Find three other people. Say, expect the supernatural. Come on, expect it. Expect it. That is your expected end. That God is going to do the supernatural in your life. Come on. God doesn't want a natural church, a carnal church. He wants a supernatural church. Who preaches a supernatural message about a supernatural God. When we talk about the supernatural, we're talking about above the natural, beyond that which is natural. We serve a God who's not bound by time or space. He is beyond the natural confinements of this life. Cancer is natural. God is supernatural. So God invading cancer means cancer is a lesser power than the power of God. And when we believe in the power of God, we will stop believing in the power of cancer. You don't hear me? When we stop believing in the power of the natural, then we can start experiencing the power that is supernatural. Come on. And I'm picking on cancer specifically for a reason. I'm picking on cancer. I know some of us probably know people who've experienced the effects of it. But we're not gonna pity cancer. Because if you're gonna walk in power, you can't walk in pity at the same time. When you have the power of God and you believe it, you cannot walk in pity at the same time. You walk with compassion, love, mercy, grace. But you're going to believe and hold on to the promise of God. See, the battle, the Bible says, so as we fight the good fight of faith, not the fight of cancer, not the fight of poverty, all those things, we're fighting the wrong fight. The fight is faith. If our faith is where it needs to be, then all the things we're fighting will become subdued to us. But if no one is preaching the words that will release faith in you, you will fall victim to the things you are supposed to have power over. So one of the things the enemy does is when we face a disappointing situation, we shrink in faith, which allows the enemy to continue to have power over us. But the minute we begin to believe once again, rooted and grounded in the Word, rooted and grounded in who God is, what He says we have, what He says we can do, then something happens to us. And as a matter of, and as a result of that, to the situations around us. There are miracles in this moment right now. Miracles. Somebody shout miracles. There are miracles in this room. Miracles are in this room. Just lift up your hands. Miracles. Somebody say, I want miracles to be revealed in my life. I want the supernatural. I expect the supernatural in my life. I don't want the normal stuff. I want the supernatural. This is heaven on earth. This is the kingdom of God. It is supernatural. Therefore, I will experience and live a supernatural life. Cancer, you are forbidden from contaminating this body. This place is cancer free. No one in this place will suffer and die from cancer. Cancer, you will die at the name of Jesus. Cancer, you are dead to me and my family. You are forbidden. You have no access here. You are under my feet. And the name of Jesus is glorious. make this next thing cancer. If anyone in this place, you had any signs of it, we take authority over that right now. If you or someone had any signs of cancer, God is healing you right now. I said, God is healing you right now. I'm talking about you got a lump, you got something, a growth somewhere. It's shrinking, right? And it's dissolving. You are not going to walk out this place with the same symptoms. You are healed in Jesus' name. To just check yourself if you can, if you have any signs of it, and share a testimony after it's gone. Hallelujah. Yeah. Last week we talked about the Father's house. We talked about the different rooms of prayer. And I don't feel led to move from the Father's house yet. You're gonna find out why in a minute. And I was thinking about the fact, he said, you know, Lord, there's not many songs about the Father. You don't really hear a lot of songs that talk about the Father. He said it's because a lot of people don't have revelation yet. So the Father heart of God, you see the kingdom, although we talk about the kingdom of God and that we're in his kingdom, you know, we serve a God who literally all his subjects, all his citizens, all his children, you know, it's not like a king who just rules over everyone, the iron fist or control or rule, you know, rules people that way, but he literally fathers us. You know, he's a father to everyone that's in his kingdom. You know, we are family. And so if the kingdom of God is a family-oriented place, government rule, the Bible says we are all kings and priests unto our God. I just wanted to just spend a few minutes talking about the nature of the Father, the nature of God. Okay, it's important we understand him, because when Jesus prayed, what he prioritized is what we should prioritize, right? Did Jesus pray for cars and houses? Did Jesus pray for a spouse? Okay? He didn't pray for those things. He didn't pray for friends. And when he taught his disciples to pray, he didn't include those things either. So what did he prioritize? The kingdom. Your will be done. Not my will. Not your will. Your will be done. So because Jesus didn't ask his will to be done, maybe he wanted a wife. But he didn't ask for his will. Maybe he wanted a big house, but he didn't ask for his will. He said, if you seek the kingdom first, everything else you need will be added to you. So if I'm praying for the things that I, that's why we said prayer is not about getting desired answers. All right, because if I'm praying for the things he, if I'm praying for him and his kingdom to come, he says everything else I will ever need in this lifetime will be added to me. Come on. So the secret of prayer is seeking his kingdom. And it's a reality that we ought to learn to live from. And if you know it's true, some of you have been praying for stuff, you've never seen it yet, because you're praying for the wrong things. So you can keep praying the same way you've been praying the last 15, 10, 20 years, however long, and still see the same results. But let's try praying the way Jesus said to pray, and let's see what happens. Amen? And I started praying that way, and I started seeing results. Come on. So, we're going to go back to where we left off. Amen. I'm going to spend 15 minutes. Somebody time. 15 minutes. Let's see heaven come in 15 minutes. How long does it take for heaven to come? How long does it take? Who knows? What's your question? How long does it take for heaven to come? Somebody said it. Who said that? Somebody said it. It's already here. It's already here. Let's read Matthew 6 once again, verse 9. So the disciples, seeing Jesus, asked him how to pray. Luke 11, we read last week, correlated with this verse. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All right, so we're just going to stop there. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So once again, what we see about Jesus was that his prayers were Father-seeking and kingdom-focused. His prayers were Father-seeking. I'm sorry, Father-centered and kingdom-seeking, all right? It was relational. He used prayer first and foremost as a relational vehicle. It was a communication device between him and the Father. And he taught his disciples, like we said last week, that this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, was a model or a template for how we should pray. It wasn't a specific prayer only. It was a model that he framed and he packaged specifically with the way that we should know how we approach prayer. There's different ways to pray, different focuses in prayer. We learned a few weeks ago about supplications, right? That supplications are our petitions to God based on what is written, based on the evidence of the word. All prayer must be scriptural. All prayer must be based upon the word of God, because the Bible says God will only answer the prayers that are based or according to his will. Okay, so it's so important that we know what the Word of God says. I also said during that topic that we're not only supposed to read the Bible, we're supposed to pray it, right? So when you read a word, you should formulate it or use it as your prayer language. You take scripture and you pray it back to God. Reading the Bible and not praying it is like going to a restaurant, opening a menu, reading what's on it, but never ordering. Right? You can look at the menu and say, well, that steak looks good. Those hot wings look incredible. But if you don't place the order, nothing's going to come to you. All right? So you just don't open the book and just read it. You now pray it back to God. It's like your order. It's like your request to him. And then the Bible says that when you pray for him, he will come. All right, and so, for example, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. All right, so we need to ask more. We need to ask, and the Lord delights in our asking. He's a father. You know, I would hate for my daughter to not ask me for anything, but go somewhere else and ask somebody else for something. I would hate that. Why won't you come to me? Why are you going to this person to ask? Why don't you feel that you can come to me? You know, and when you really understand the relational heart of God, that God looks at us as his children and you look at him as a father in a relationship, I mean, it totally changes your whole Christianity. Because we won't just have a God who we treat as a genie, a God who we just have wishes and we ask him to grant our wishes, and that's it. We serve a God who treats us like sons and daughters. All right? And that was so critical to Jesus, because the very first thing he taught his disciples to do was to address God as Father. So the nature of God, the first thing you want to know about the nature of your God is that he is a father. Right? Write that down. God is a father to me. Write that down in your notes. God is a father to me. He's a father, a good father at that. And we also mentioned last week that the Father gives us identity. And it's the first thing a father does. Before you're even born, you have an identity waiting for you. And when you're born again, when you enter into the kingdom of God, you embrace the identity of your Father in the Spirit. Jesus said that you can have one of two fathers. You can be of your Father in heaven, or you can be of your father, the devil. So in the spirit realm, there are only two possible fathers you can have, God or the devil. Either way, somebody is fathering you. Okay? And whoever you obey, whoever you listen to, whoever you allow to shape your identity, proves who's fathering you. All right? And so if you ask yourself, who am I? Who am I? Where am I getting my self-worth from, my sense of identity from? That ultimately determines who I'm allowing to father me in the Spirit. And so when we come into the kingdom, the first thing we got to realize is that my God is Dad, and whatever he says about me is the truth about me. What God says about you is the truth about you. All right? Now, in the Father's house, in the Father's kingdom, there are no sicknesses, there are no diseases, there's no shortage of food, right? There's joy, there's peace, there's celebration, and all of our Christian life on earth is all about learning how to transition from living according to this world and being transformed by the renewing of our minds according to what? What are we renewing our minds to? God's Word. Okay? That's why it's so important you understand that if God is my Dad, all power belongs to Him. In heaven, there's no sickness. Therefore, there is no sickness that my Father wants me to continue to live with. It's about these weird teachings that talk about how God sometimes would teach people a lesson by making them sick, allowing them to go through all these things so that he can teach them a lesson. No, God allows you to experience things according to your choices, according to your decisions. If I eat McDonald's all year long and I end up with pancreatic cancer, whose fault is that? No, I said McDonald's. You can sue them, but it's still my choice. And we got to come back to the place where we realize our choices create our reality. That's what freedom is. Freedom is the ability to make a choice and live out of the reality of that choice. I let you choose. He let the prodigal son leave, take his inheritance, and go squander it. It wasn't the father's will for his son to go down that path, but he allowed him to make the choice. But the minute the son decided to repent and come back home, what was the father doing? Waiting to receive him back. That's why repentance is so important, because in order for us to experience the kingdom, the Bible says we got to repent. that change the way we think. And there's some things in our lives right now we got to repent from. Hello. We got to repent or change the way we think about the way we live our lives. Because there's so many things we're living according to that the Father never intended for us to live from. So many realities the Father doesn't want us to experience, but yet still he allows us to make those choices. Amen? This is where the kingdom of God comes in. Because what Jesus said to pray, he said, let your kingdom come and let your, what? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that word earth, you know, the Bible says we were created from the earth. So we can even look at that as ourselves. Let your will be done in me. Let your will be done in earth, in me. These earthen vessels, we need God's will to be done. Okay? And when we surrender to him, that prayer, let your will be done, it's a prayer of surrender. Because we're now deciding to do things God's way and not our way. Okay? I say, Lord, I'm choosing to do things your way. I want to know how you operate. I want to know how you think and what you think. And how am I supposed to live now that I'm a son of your kingdom? Now that I'm a son and a daughter of your kingdom, of heaven. The Bible says we are citizens of heaven. All right? And right now, not when we die, but right now. And this is one of the most, this is the most important, this is central to the message of what Jesus preached. He preached heaven, he preached the kingdom, and as a result of that, the kingdom of God came, manifesting itself in miracles, signs, and wonders. So if we're not talking about it, we won't see it. All right? Heaven comes through prayer. That's the only way heaven will come. We pray. Let your kingdom come. All right? How many people want heaven to come in their life right now? How many people got some situations that they need heaven's realities, not your reality? All right, some of us got hell on earth going on. We need to get heaven on earth in our lives. Come on. We believe in hell. Some people say it's even on earth, but let's start believing in heaven. Come on. Here's one thing I want you to know about the nature of our Father, and this is Numbers 23. Numbers chapter 23. All right, it says what? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he shall lie. All right, so the beginning of understanding prayer and understanding the reality that we get to bring heaven to earth. First and foremost, we got to understand the nature of God. Number one, the Bible says God is not a man. He's not natural. He is supernatural. God is supernatural. He is not a man. He doesn't have the same mindset and the same finite abilities as fallen human beings, okay? The natural means you need to take to deal with situations God doesn't need to. God is not bound to time and space because he's not a man. The Bible also says in John 4, verse 23 and 24, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth, meaning I gotta meet him where he is. Many of us wanna relate to God where we are. We want a God who looks like us. That's why the tendency of man is to create idols. A God that we can control, that we can manipulate, that we can tangibly relate to. But God is spirit. He's not a man. So if I'm going to worship him and relate to him, I got to step out of my carnal human mindset and begin to embrace the mindset of God. I got to know how he thinks and relate to him where he is. I got to worship him according to his desire to be worshipped. I can't worship him the way I want him to be worshipped. I got to worship him the way he wants to be. God is not a man. Hallelujah. Come on. This is the beginning. This is how you understand the supernatural. Can you imagine the fact that God, Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent? Hath he said, and shall he not do? All right? So one of the things that make people or make humans humans is the fact that we lie. People lie. Even when we don't intend to. But the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. What makes God God is that he cannot lie. Hallelujah. What makes God God is his inability to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. What makes us humans is that we have the capacity to lie. So if we look at God's word and take it for what it says, and we believe him for who he is, a God who cannot lie, that means there should never be any ounce of doubt, fear, uncertainty about his promises coming to pass in our lives. If Jesus said, pray and ask for his kingdom to come, he's not asking us for something that can't happen. He's praying the Father's desire, which is to see heaven continue to flood our lives in such a way that the kingdom is advanced and expanding through us. And that is the Father's will, the Father's desire. God cannot lie. Neither is he bound. So to separate God from the supernatural is the attempt to naturalize him, but this is impossible. All right, given his supernatural nature, his essence, and his will, whenever we look to God as a man, we are saying to God, God, I know your word says, but I'm going to try to do it my way. And when we ignore his word, we ignore his power. The supernatural is very simple. You obey his word, and miracles follow. That's why rebellion, iniquity, all this stuff, when we go against his word, all it does is cause more harm than good. We obey his word because he cannot lie, and we trust him. That's what Bianca was saying in the time of worship. God's greatest desire, or his addiction, so to speak, is to be trusted. If God had an addiction, his addiction will be to be trusted. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when you think about it, he's the only being in the universe that can be trusted. I'm not a man that I should lie. Everybody else around you lies. I'm the only person who you can trust. My word is the only word you can trust. You don't hear me? So if I say you are healed, any other word is a lie. The doctors lie. Lawyers lie. Your parents lie. But God cannot lie. Come on. I don't care what your doctor said. I don't care what the financial forecasters say. What does God say? Because he cannot lie. Come on. And we trust his word for that reason. You see, that gives you a supernatural reality and a supernatural perspective to live from. So now you walk and live a supernatural life. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. And so it's impossible to talk about the kingdom of God and to separate it from power. The kingdom is the rule and the reign of God. The rule and the reign of God. The rulership and the dominion of God backed by his power. All right, so a kingdom without power is a hoax. It's a joke. A king who doesn't have power, is he a king? Come on. So if we're talking about kingdom, you're talking about power. He has something backing him up that enables him to be ruler. So the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the enemy, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says the devil walks around like He didn't say he was. The devil is playing with some of your emotions and your health and your bodies, and he's operating like a roaring lion, just like that, seeking whom he may devour. All right? Trying to scare you into believing him. All right? So the devil roars, he scares you so that you can believe him. God whispers his word and wants to see if you believe him. But if you believe in God's nature, you'll believe him, whether he whispers or whether he raises his voice. But if I believe in the devil's nature, I'll believe him. My question to you, whose nature do you believe in more? Do you believe in the nature of God, that he is good, he cannot lie, he is supernatural, or are you going to believe in the devil, that he's powerful? The devil has no authority over you. All power belongs to God. Hallelujah. All power belongs to God. You fight the good fight of faith. So we said fear is to the devil, but faith is to God. All right? Fear is to the devil, but faith is to God. I believe in his word. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of God. Right? Does God have to scream at you to get your attention? I hope not. One of the things I teach Peyton, and Shanique and I go back and forth about this. I believe that one, I say something once, I want Peyton to respond to me the first time. Right? If she learns how to respond only the third or fourth or fifth time, then what she's learning to do, she's learning she doesn't have to listen the first, second, third time. Some of us carry that same relationship with God. God has to speak to us five or six times. You need eight confirmations before you can listen to him. And I realized the supernatural is in rapid obedience. The minute God speaks, you respond. And because as soon as he speaks, I know that there's an open heaven there. Come on. When there's an open heaven, I don't want to miss it. I'm going to step into that portal. I'm going to step into that opportunity. I'm going to step into that breakthrough. I'm going to step into what God is creating through his word. What's the first thing we see about your father in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God what? Created. So the first thing we see is that our God is a God who creates. And how did he create? Through his what? His word. So what is God trying to do in you? He is trying to teach you how to respond to his word so that he can continue to create in you everything that he is for you. All right? Everything that God will ever do is going to be based on a word. His word. He cannot lie. I believe his word and allow his word to become flesh in me. All right? I become incarnational. So we live out of the revelation of the fact that God is God, he is our Father, he speaks to us, and when he speaks to us, he's creating solutions, he's creating possibilities, he's creating open heavens over our lives. And that's why if you have no desire to get revelation from God, you have no desire for God. Because everything God will ever do to you is going to be based on a revelation from him. Somebody say, I need a revelation. I need a word. All right? And so we said that God is what? God is not a man that he should lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We said that God is spirit. God is the creator. He creates with his words. How about this? Another thing you want to know about God. The supernatural is normal for God. The supernatural is God's natural. He is spirit. So his essence, the nature of who he is that he is above the natural. All right, so healing is normal. Miracles are normal for God. And that should also be the norm for you. Amen? Supernatural provision is your normal. Supernatural healing is your normal. Favor on earth is normal. Okay? You gotta embrace the identity of your Father. He is supernatural. That's his norm. All right? And now God is saying, you are supernatural with me. You are my sons and my daughters. Do you think Jesus walked with a natural or supernatural mindset? You better believe it. Who walks on water? Because he didn't think natural. All right? You are not bound to natural circumstances. I really want that to sink in. We are not bound to normal, natural circumstances. What the rest of the world who don't know God is bound to, that's not your portion. Come on. Is there anything too hard for your God? No, because he's supernatural. So think about the situations in your life that are so hard, that seem to be so difficult for you. I want you to begin to realize that it's not hard for God. Okay? And you are his sons, you are his daughters, and you're going to embrace the reality of who God says you are. All right? So the supernatural is a normal life for God. It's a supernatural life for you. God supersedes the natural laws of the earth. All right? And whatever God wants to see accomplished, do not put God in the class bracket of natural. Okay? God is never late. He doesn't work by our time. Lazarus was dead 4 days. And he came back and said, but natural law said after 3 days, it was too late. Jesus came purposely on the fourth day to show you I'm not bound by time. Don't limit me. Some of you are saying, God, what's going on? Listen, God is on time. What he's waiting for is your faith to get out of time. Heaven is now. The supernatural is now. Breakthrough is now. Come on. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Once God sees your faith, the Bible says that it pleases him, and then he responds. All this is necessary when you approach God in prayer. If you don't expect the supernatural, if you don't expect this sovereignty of God, the purposes of God, the ability of God to manifest in your life, you're going to live a very disappointing prayer life. Because God wants to do far beyond all that you can ask or think. Last thing I want to show you. The supernatural rules over the natural. Right? The Bible says that God, Jesus Christ, is what? Lord. And he has all power and authority over the natural. All right? And so we should not be surprised at the reality of the supernatural in our church. All right? We preach a supernatural message. We are fathered by a supernatural God. Then the supernatural gives credibility of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was crucified on the cross. He was buried in the grave for 3 days, and by the supernatural power of God, he resurrected from the grave, and then he said, now the same power that's been given to me in heaven and earth, I'm giving to you so that you can bring evidence of my resurrection. All right? That's why we're praying and we're speaking over us and we're talking about this, because unless we see the fruit of the supernatural, we're not preaching the gospel that Jesus preached. All right? Supernatural must become a daily lifestyle for you. It must become normal for you that when people are going through things around you, you pray like a son, and your number one desire is to bring heaven into their lives. People who are battling depression and suicide, don't sit there and call the psychiatrist. You call on your Father and you pray for them. People losing their mind. Alzheimer's is not the will of God, church. What's the will of God? He said, forget not my benefits. Anybody losing their memory, you pray that promise. Your word says, we shall forget not your benefits. Therefore, they shall remember you. They shall know you. Hallelujah. People walk around with bipolar disorders. That's not a disorder, it's a spirit. And we label these people and give them reasons to act crazy. I heard a guy tell me one time, he was wilding out at the security guard. And I'm talking to him. He was like, nah, man, he's getting on my nerves. I was like, all right, but what's wrong? He was like, nah, he don't know, I'm bipolar. I was like, oh, you're bipolar? He's like, yeah, any minute I can snap. I said, oh, so you have license to snap at any time because you're bipolar. Pretty much, right? Come on. We have to realize when a paralytic son, the Bible said that there was a father who had a son. The Bible says the son kept being thrown into fire, right? And every time there was water, the son kept being thrown in water. The father didn't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, my son has ADD. My son has this disorder that keeps throwing him in. No. Even the parents back then knew, this is spirit. This is not normal. And if we keep calling these demons disorders and labeling them all these different terms, we are giving them permission to stay in people's bodies and continuing to destroy and demonize and possess and cripple and do all the stuff that they get freedom to do. Jesus didn't counsel spirits out, he cast them out. That's what happens when heaven comes to earth. Hallelujah. And you watch and see. I got so mad, I was around the, and sometimes you gotta do this. I was in the pharmacy, and I've seen all these elderly people coming in for their medicines. My heart was so free. It was almost like it was their drugs. They couldn't wait to get their medicine. Because we lied to them and said to them, they need this to keep living. So what happened 40, 50 years ago? And it's all a plot to take money from them. Take their social security, take all the money they have, and people think why they need their drugs to live. And if you try to tell them you don't need that, they're gonna fight you. Because they've been deceived into thinking that medicine is the answer. I was almost knocked the bag out the lady's hand. Hallelujah. But I knew she needed to be taught. And that's why we gotta teach the truth. I've seen people just delivered from all types of stuff. All right? I mean, I don't have time to go any farther. But what I want us to do is, again, we're challenging our minds to think beyond the natural. Challenge ourselves to go beyond what's normal, what was normal to you. You don't have to accept anything that's not in God's word for your life. What the Father says about you, that's your truth, that's your identity. That's your reality, and you got to become grounded in that, in the Father room. Father, everything you say I am loved, I am healed, I am blessed, I am delivered, I'm sanctified. I choose to walk in that reality. And you know what? If there's anything in your body that says otherwise, you begin to tell what's wrong in you to begin to line up with what's right in you, according to the Word of God. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, I believe that even now, God, you are releasing breakthrough in this moment. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. We get ready to go before we leave. Father, I thank you for the release of your spirit. Thank you for the release of your kingdom. Thank you for the manifestation of your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.